Today's shiur is Masechta Beya Daf Chav Hei, and we will begin on Daf Chav Dal Arma Beis, five lines from the bottom. It says the Gemara, Amar HaPapa, Hilchasa, the halach is, the Nachri Shehevi, Dairin Yisrael B'Yontif, if a Nachri brought fruits as a gift to Yisrael on Yontif, and we're not certain if they were removed on Yontif, or they were removed on Erev Yontif, If there are such fruits available that are still connected to the ground, so now we have a real possibility that these fruits were detached on Yontif, Osir, so that those fruits may not be eaten, not by the person who it was brought for, not by others, and they may not even be moved because of Muksa. And as the Rishonim explained, that even Rav Shimon, who, as we've been discussing, the opinion of Rav Shimon from the beginning of Masechta, who has a more lenient approach to Muksa, Rav Shimon doesn't hold that Muksa is mutter. As we've always explained, Rav Shimon just has a more lenient approach towards Muksa, but he certainly agrees that Muksa is osur, and he says that Rav Shimon's opinion is that something which is like Roigris at Smukim, which are fruits that are put up to dry, and therefore nobody has a mind that they're going to eat them, they're muksa. And that's why Rashi says, even Rav Shimon would agree that these fruits are muksa. The other Rishonim, that's how Rashi explains this Gemara. There are other Rishonim that attempt to explain the Gemara, that the reason one may not eat them, because the Nachri did this on behalf of the Jew on Yontif, and we don't want that anybody should benefit from melacha that was done by a Nachri on behalf of a Jew on Yontif. And furthermore, Rav Papa holds that even though it's a Sofik Muchan, we don't know if the Nachri detached them today or he detached them from before Yontif. Still, the Meiri explains Rav Papa is obviously paskening, like we learned in the previous year, that Sofik Muchan is Osir. The Ran takes a different approach. The Ran's approach is that it's not a Shaila if they were collected today or they were connected the day before. We certainly could assume that they were detached today, because somebody who wants to bring a gift wants to bring a fresh gift. And since somebody wants to bring a fresh gift, they certainly detached it today. The Magen Avraham expands on the Ran. Since this person is bringing, this Nachri is bringing these fruits as a gift for the Yisrael, so a Nachri who brings a gift for Yisrael wants to bring it in the best way possible. And therefore, he's going to detach the Peiros only on Yontif. He's not going to detach them the day before. And therefore, the Magen Avraham says, if he told the Nachri that I want you to bring gift, want you to bring me the Peiros, so now it's not in the category of a gift. Now it's a situation that the Yisrael asked the Nachri to bring him, and there's a question, when did the Nachri detach them? Did he detach them before Yontif, or did he detach them on Yontif? And that maybe would be considered a situation of Sofik Vadai, of Sofik Muchan. But the Bi'ah Halacha says that even though the Ran and the Magen Avraham take the approach that there's a difference between a gift versus when I ask the Akum to take it, still, it's quite probable that if he brought it today, he detached it today. Furthermore, says Rav Papa, the Nachri who brought this gift to the Yisrael, La'erev Nami Asurin, even to the evening they may not be eaten, B'chtei Shiaso. You have to wait the amount of time that the it takes for this Malacha to be done, because we don't want that he should benefit from the work that the Nachri did on his behalf on Yontif. But if there are no fruits like that attached to the ground, so there's no concern that he actually did a malacha on my behalf in bringing the fruits. If we have to see from where he brought those fruits, and if he brought those fruits, mutter, because there's no muksa, because they were detached, and therefore they were detached, and I'm not benefiting from anything that was done on Yontif, and that's why they're permitted. Mechutz to tchum, but if the fruits were brought out from outside the tchum, so again we have the discussion that we're having now that we're not allowed to have a nor from Melechus Yontif, and therefore habab. But here there's a difference. Habab b'shvil Yisrael zeh, if it was brought on behalf of one Yisrael, mutal Yisrael achar, it may be enjoyed by another Jew. Since the entire Isser of bringing something from Mechutz to tchum is only an Isser de Rabbanon, we're more lenient, and if it was, and it's only also for the Jew who was brought from, but not for another Jew. So, the Rishonim, in discussing this Gemara, have many different conditions. Rashi explained that if there's something of this min that's mechubar, we don't want you to have that hanor from it. And therefore, you have to wait for, you don't want to have, we don't want you to have a law from Lachas Yontif, and that's why you have to wait till after Yontif, b'chdei shiyasa. Now the question is, what does that mean? If we in Chutz Laretz, we keep 2 days Yontif. So now the question is, do we have to wait b'chdei shiyasa or Matzah Yontif Rishon, or do we have to wait till Matzah Yontif, till b'chdei shiyasa of Yontif Sheni? So the Pasha Pshat is that if he brought on the first day, on the second day it should be mutter. Because as we've discussed many times, the 2 days of Yontif that we keep in Chutz Laretz are Sveik of the Yoyma. So if he brought on the first day, and the first day is not Yontif, he didn't do anything wrong. And if the first day is Yontif, then the second day is not Yontif, and there's no way that you should have to, that it should be Usur. And therefore, Rashi says, it's only Usur on B'chdei Shiyasa, it was brought on Matzah on Yontif Rishon, it's only also B'chdei Shiyasa on Matzah Yontif Rishon. But Derem Kivega asks, but why would it be mutter on the second day Yontif? Asks Derem Kivega. We can't eat it till Matzah Yontif Rishon past B'chdei Shiyasa. That means when Bein HaShmoshes between Yontif Rishon and Yontif Sheni came, it was still Muksa. And don't we have a rule that Migad is Katzoy Le Bein HaShmoshes is Katzoy Le Kula Yoyma? So Rabbi Akiva Eger says that we're going to have to say that Rabbi Papa agrees with Rabbi Shimon that we don't say Migad Es Gatzoy. The Rishonim ask a question. Tosfos asked the question. Here we're saying that if a Nochri brought something on behalf of a Jew, Nochri did a Malach on behalf of a Jew, we're very strict. We learned the Masechta Shabbos that if somebody cooked on Shabbos, B'shoigig, it may be eaten. Now the question is, why are we more lenient with cooking on Shabbos, which is a malacha d'oraisa, versus here, when a nochri doing a malacha, why should we be more lenient? So the Rosh says a very interesting teretz. The Rosh says, we're not concerned that a Jew is going to do a malacha on behalf of another Jew. And since we're not concerned that a Jew is going to do a malacha on behalf of another Jew, we don't have to be concerned that a Jew is going to cook for a Jew, and therefore Chazal weren't strict with making fines for this, knas for this being done. But that a Nochri should Jew should ask a Nochri to do Malach on his behalf is quite likely. Since that's something that's so much more likely, that's why Chazal had to be more machmer. Now, when we speak about B'chdei Shiyasa, the Rishonim debate. What does B'chdei Shiyasa mean? Does B'chdei Shiyasa mean the amount of time it takes to cut this fruit off the tree? Or does B'chdei Shiyasa also include the amount of time that you have to, it takes to bring the fruit, even though carrying the fruit is not considered a malacha on Yontif? And this Machlokes Rishonim, seems most Rishonim of the opinion that the B'chdei Shiyasa is limited to the amount of time to do the malacha the Raisa. Another question that the Rishonim debate is what this discussion that we had in the Gemara refers to a situation where the Nochri did it on behalf of the Yisrael on first day Yontif. What would happen if the Nochri did it on behalf of the Yisrael on Yontif Sheni? As we've discussed many times, Yontif Sheni in this Masechta, Yontif Sheni is less strict than Yontif Rishon. So maybe this entire Gezerah was only said on Yontif Rishon, not on Yontif Sheni, a Machloikis Rishonim. What's the halacha if the Nochri detached fruit on behalf of the Yisrael on Yontif Rishon, but he did not bring it until Matzah Yontif. Do you have to, the Shita says, that even if he brought it on Matzah Yontif, I still would have to wait the amount of Chtei Shiasa not to benefit from the Melacha that the Nachri did on my behalf on Yontif Rishon. The Rosh says that if you have fruits that aren't attached to the ground, you don't have any such fruits that are attached, but it was brought mechutz l'tchum, but you may not eat them, but the Rosh says they may be moved. Since, as we're learning, the Gemara just taught us that we're more lenient with these fruits that came mechutz l'tchum, that only he may not eat it, but for whom it was brought, for whom it was not brought may eat it, says the Rosh, just like we're lenient in that way, we also will be lenient that we're not going to have to wait, that even the person for whom it was brought would have to only wait b'chtei shiasa. It's toichet chum. If it was brought toichet chum and there was no malach involved because there's no fruit like this attached to the ground, the Gemara says we could be lenient. The Chassam Sofer paskins that when there's a suffix, if it came toichet chum, chutz l'tchum, even though we've been discussing that when it comes to muksa, we're being machmer with Sofik muksa, here, when it's Sofik tchum, since tchum is a drabanan, we could be more makel. But we said in the Gemara, it's mutter l'Yisrael acher, it's mutter for another Jew, but it's not mutter for the Jew for whom it was brought. It says the Shita Mekubetzes, when we say that it's not mutter for the person who was brought, says the Shita Mekubetzes, it doesn't mean strictly him. He says all of his family members are included in the people who was brought for. The Shas Tshuva Smichas Yitzchak, Chel Ches Simen Nun Tes, discusses a situation where Nachri, that just like we're learning in our Gemara, that if a Nachri detached fruit on Yontif, a Yisrael may not benefit from that fruit, even if it's Letzarech Mitzvah. Says the Michas Yitzchak, if a person from Eretz Yisrael, an Eretz Yisrael Jew, detached the fruit in Mechubra on Yontif Sheni, where it's Yontif for a person for Chutz Loretz, and it's not Yontif for him, the halacha is that the Jew may not benefit from that fruit. And therefore, he paskins that if a person from Chutz Loretz finds himself in Eretz Yisrael, he has to be very careful on Yontif Sheni that he should not have benefit from anything that involved the malacha. He discusses a situation where, let's say, it's Yontif Sheni for the Chutz Loretz Jew who finds himself in Eretz Yisrael, and somebody, an Eretz Yisrael Jew for whom it's Chol Hamoed, detached aravos, the halach is that the Jew should not use those aravos, because those aravos were obtained by getting a malacha. The Michas Yitzchak says, but the Eved, if the Eretz Yisrael Jew is the one that puts the aravos in the lulav of the Jew, then we could, in the lulav of the Chutz Loretz Jew, we could be more makel. But Rav Yerushalayim Zalman says that we could be lenient. It's not the same like when a Nachri does Malacha on a time where it's Yontif, that we have to prevent that from happening, and that's why Chazal made Gezeris. Here it's a Yisrael who for him today is not Yontif, and therefore there's no reason to make Gezeris, and we can be more lenient. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Abba, Rav Huna, Amar Rav, Hasoicher Amas Hamayim. If somebody closes up the dam of water, Mer of Yontif, that to prevent any new fish from going in there, and the next morning he wakes up and Matzba Dogim, he finds fish, Matarim. There is no Muksa, because obviously, those fish were there from before Yontif. But of course, the question is, we began this perek with the Mishnah teaching us, ain't sodom dogim and abibrim b'yontif. And Chazal said that we never let to do tzeda on dogim because it involves the malach of tzeda. So why over here, indeed, we don't have to be concerned about muksa because they were all there from before Yontif, but why are we not concerned about tzeda? So the Rambam and other Rishonim say that this Amas Hamayim that we're speaking about was a very small pond. And when it's a very small pond, there's even by fish, the halacha is that there is no tzeda. Only because if it's very narrow, the halacha is that there is no is a tzeda even by a small fish. Amar Chizda, b'divrei Rabbeinu, from what we just learned, nilmad, chay shekinana, a chay that prepared a nest, the paradis, prepared a nest in the field, and it's richazuman. Those birds that are born, since they're very small, they're not going to fly away, and they're in a protected place, and there's no concern of tzeda, they can't even fly, and that's why they're all considered mukhanim, there's no issue of mikzah. Omer of Nachman, so Rav Nachman, who was a Talmud of Rav and a colleague of Rav Chizda, said, Nofel Chavrin b'Rav Ravasan. Rav Chizda has entered into a subject which was the subject of a machloikus in the Beis Medrash. Ikad Amri, before the Gemara goes on to explain what Rav Nachman meant, Omer of the Gemara brings a different version. Amar Rav Rav Huna, B'divir Rabbeinu Numad, Chayin Shekinah B'Paradis Enet Shri Chazimun. This animal that prepared a place in the field, we don't have to have preparation on those animals that are going to be born. Amar Rav Nachman, on that Rav Nachman comment, Nofel Bar Chavrin B'Chay Ravusa. Rav Huna was our colleague, and Rav Rav's son made a mistake. Says the Gemara, the Hossam, an animal that had a baby and prepared to have a baby in the field, Lekoved Masa. He didn't do any act of Zima from before Yantif. It happened all by itself. And since it happened all by itself, that's why there is no issue. Hocha, but here, and that's why it's still considered Muksa. Hocha, by the Amas Hamayim, as we began the discussion, he closed up that waterway. And since he closed up that waterway, that is considered a Maisa Zimun. And therefore the Gemara is saying there's a Nafka Mina when there was a Maisa Zimun versus where there was no Maisa Zimun. Ask the Gemara, V'loy Boy Zimun, ask the Gemara on Rav Chizda or Rabbi Rav Huna, whoever version we're going to accept, is it true that anybody could suggest that Zimun is not required? For Tanya, doesn't the Brice expressly teach us, Chai Shepinna Beparadis, a Chai that has babies in this field, Daloch is Tzrich Lazamen, we have to prepare. The Tzipa Dror, the bird that we said that flies, Tzarch Likshe B'Kunafeha, we have to tie its wings to them together to show that we did a Zimun. Kadesh Loitus Chalef Ima. And like that, we should know that this is the bird and we should not, that we did Zimun on. Zez the Gemara Zu, Eidish Idim and Pish of Shmai Vavtalion. And this is where we learned this from Shmai Vavtalion, who were from the first Tanoim. They were the Rebbeim of Hillel Azokin, and they were great Gedolei Ador, and certainly the Halacha follows them. Ask the Gemara, how can we say that Zimun is always required? Or me by Zimun, you're suggesting now that Zimun is always required. Ask the Gemara Tanya, I'm Rav Shimon ben Elazar, Maidim Beisharim Beis Hillel, that discussed earlier in Masecht on Daf Yud, that Yoinim doves always require Zimun, Al Shezmina B'Toycha Kan, that we discussed there, that we prepared birds in the nest from Erev Yontif or Matzlof Neikan, and then we found birds in front of the nest as Surim, because we're concerned that maybe the birds we prepared flew away, and these birds that we now find are different birds. Continues the Braisa, B'medvar Mamurim, B'yoni Shvoivich, B'yoni Aliyah, these types of birds that fly away. The tziparim shekinah b'tichim v'bira, different types of birds that were put into earthenware vessels that zimun is required. Aval avzim v'tanegoylim, geese and chicken. V'yoyna har desoyus, doves that grow in the home. V'chay shekinah b'pardes, mataris, they don't need zimun because there's no tzeda involved in catching them. And since there's no tzeda involved in catching them, zimun is not required. So ask the Gemara, here we see a brisa, which is consistent with what we've been learning, that zimun is not required. But it's a stira, the previous brisa that we learned says that zimun is always required. Another question. Another dinner of Shimon Elazar said, V'tzipa drah tzrich l'kshibah kefeha, k'tash t'schalaf be'ima. Because we have to make sure to be able to differentiate between it and its mother. any bird that has its wings tied, v'amenunoim, any birds that we did zimun on by doing a physical act, an act on them, v'bayrus uba'otem v'sichem, that are found in pits, different types of, different shaped pits, or memorials or caves, mutarin, we could take them on yontif, even because of the zimun that we did before yontif. Even though it's not considered mishtamish b'mechubur, because as we've learned, that we're not allowed to do anything with a tree on yontif. Therefore, will be lonis, if they're found, if these nests are found on a tree, a surim, because on anything on a tree, there's always a concern of shema yala v'yitlish, that you may go up the tree and take off part of the tree. Says the Gemara, hamukshar menonoyim, but when we speak about birds that were tied together or we did zimun on, become makayim, even in any place, asur mishum gezel. Even though it's a public place, there's an isser of gezel on them, because once I did such a maisa, it considered that they became mine, and if somebody else takes it, it's considered as if he stole. But here we see that chai shekinah b'pardes ain't a tzricha zimun. The previous braisa said the chai shekinah b'pardes does need zimun. Answers the Gemara, Amar Rav Nachman Moi Kasha. Ha, the braisa that says that zimun is not required is ba, since it's a small animal that just got born and it can't go anywhere, that's why zimun is not required. The braisa that says that zimun is required is talking about the ima, the mother. Since it's a larger animal and it can run away, he has to do an act of zimun to be able to keep it. Ask the Gemara, and the ima, the mother that's large enough to run away, b'zimun sagale, is zimun enough? It still, there's another issue. Isn't there a concern? Say the ma'aliyah sabayi. You have to capture it. Otherwise, you're not allowed to take it on yontif because you're going to be over the iser of tzeda. El Amar Rav Nachman, idi b'dida. Both prices are talking about the baby. Ha, begina smucha l'ir. The brisa that's being more lenient is talking about a garden that's closer to the city. And he was able to see that there was babies that were going to be born on yontif, and therefore he's thinking about them, and that's considered an adequate act of zimun. Ha, beginish and smuchalir, if it's not close to the city, so he didn't think about it, and since he didn't think about it, he didn't know about it, he didn't think about it, and that's why, unless you did a specific act of zimun, it's inadequate. The Torah says that what is considered smuchalir, anything that's within 70 amos of the city is considered samach li'ir. Rashi comes on to say that if you didn't realize that it's having a baby, even though it's close to the city, that's not called zimun. There has to be at least some sort of a knowledge that this mother is having this baby, and that is enough of a zimun if it's close to the city. Along, included in Oichel Nefesh, of course, is that we're allowed to shecht an animal on Yontif. Says the Mishnah, Behemu Musakanis, you have an animal that is sick and it's about to die, and you're concerned that it dies, it's going to become a nevela, and of course something which is a nevela can't be eaten, and value is much less. So right now, he doesn't have to eat, because he already had the Sudas Yontif. But he wants to shecht it just to avoid the problem, to avoid it becoming a nevela. Says the Mishnah, you may not shecht it unless there's enough time that you can eat of it a meat of roasted meat. When roasted meat, it takes less time to roast meat than to cook meat. That's number one. Number two, the Rishonim say that we know that when we eat meat, we have to salt the meat to extract the blood. But that's only if we're going to cook the meat. If we're going to roast the meat, the roasting accomplishes the extraction. And since the roasting accomplishes the extraction, the extraction of blood, we don't have to salt it. So we save that time. And that's what the Mishnah is saying, that the amount of time it takes to roast a kazayas of that meat, if you're going to have that much time before yontif is up, that's good enough. So Egli Tal says that the Mishnah is very specific, that it has to be that you'll have time to do this on a kezias meat. But if there won't be time to do it on a kezias meat, there'll only be time for less than a kezias, it wouldn't be acceptable. Because he says the Torah, when it speaks about melechus oichel nefesh, says, achashi yoichel chol nefesh, hu yo'os lechem. And whenever the Torah uses the word yo'oichel, it always means, achila always means a kezias. And anything less than a kezias is not considered a ma'isa achila. The Imri Bina disagrees, and when he says a kezias, when the Mishnah says kezias, it doesn't specifically mean a kezias. It could even mean less than a kezias, as long as you'll be able to eat some of it on Yontif. And because the halacha is that you're only allowed to do melacha on Yontif if you're going to benefit from that melacha. But if you're not going to benefit from that melacha on Yontif, we may not do melacha on Yontif if there's not going to be any benefit. If you're going to benefit or somebody else is going to benefit, that's the concept of Hoyle and Mechsel Orchim. But it has to be that somebody is going to have, that there's potential benefit from that meat. Rabbi Kiva Omer, Rabbi Kiva says you could check this animal, afilu kezayis chai, even if you're going to eat raw meat, bebeis tfichosoi. Because even though the Torah says we're not allowed to eat blood, the halacha is blood that is absorbed in the meat and never went out of that meat, you're allowed to eat. So therefore, Rabbi Kiva says that we're talking about that you can eat this meat raw and eat it. And he also says we're talking about the place where it was slaughtered, because the place on the animal where it was slaughtered, already the skin was taken off from that place. And since the skin was taken off from that place, so we don't have to worry that you're going to need time to take off that meat. And that's why he's even more lenient. There's a machloikus achrayim that when we're speaking about the meat, that the Tanakam has said you have to have time to roast the meat. And Rav Kiva is more lenient, you have enough time to eat the meat raw. So Daini Yontif asks the question. Rav Kiva held that we're allowed to do malacha on Yontif letzorech klovim, for the sake of animals. So why doesn't Rabbi Kiva say that it's not because I'm going to eat raw meat, which obviously the Tanakhama says people don't eat raw meat, and that's why he can't agree with Rabbi Kiva. We could say because he's doing it on behalf of a dog. So the Oni Yontif gives two explanations. He says, the Mishnah speaking about, as we started, with a behema musukenis. We can't say that a person is allowed to shecht his behema, which is Sukenis, on behalf of a dog or yontif. Because a dog doesn't need shechita. We're trying to allow shechita, that an animal should not be an availer. We can't say that you're allowed to do shechita if you're going to feed the animal to the dog, because the animal doesn't have to eat meat that's slaughtered. Another pshat that the Oni Yontif suggests, that when somebody does shechita, there's a malach of tzeveya. He dyes the area around the base of shechita, becomes colored with the blood. Killing the animal any other way doesn't involve the melacha of tzviya. So again, says the Oni Yontif, if we're doing it on behalf of a person, so we're allowed to do that. That's part of what we're allowed to do on behalf of a person. But if we're doing it on behalf of an animal, we have no right to be over the melacha of tzviya if it's not on behalf of if it's on behalf of a dog, because a dog doesn't need meat that was nishachtim. Shachtim b'sada, if the animal that was musakenis was slaughtered in the field, lo yevena b'moit or b'moita, one shouldn't carry it on a pole. Ameva b'yodeh evarim evarim, you should carry it one piece at a time. As the Rashba explains, even though by carrying it one piece at a time, you're going to have to walk much more. And the Gemara in Masechet Shabbos teaches us that when there's a fire and you have to do something, it's always better to walk less than carry more. To walk less and carry more. Here, when you're carrying it with in a pole, it looks like an ovdu d'chol. And on Yontif, Chazal were particularly concerned about an ovdu d'chol, and that's why the Mishnah says you should rather carry it one piece at a time, and it'll take more carrying and more walking, but not to do something which involves the Ovdu D'chol. Amar Rami Bar Abba. The Torah says, when it comes to a carbon oiler,
Hefshet v'nituach, we have to skin the animal, we have to cut it up into pieces by a carbon oila. It says the Rambam b'chama hu adin l'katzovim. That's the same thing that butchers should do when they prepare meat. And we can learn the Torah. The Torah is teaching us shloyachol adin basa kadim hefshet v'nituach. A person should not eat meat only if it was properly skinned and cut. Of course, it's not only butchers, says the Miri. It's everybody. But butchers were the people who typically worked with the meat. Ask the Gemara, my kamashmalan, what was Rambam b'chama coming to teach us? Is he just coming to teach us derech eretz, that that's the proper way of eating meat? Or he's coming to teach us that you have to be careful that before you eat the meat, you check it that it's not a treifa? Says the Gemara, if he's coming to say that he doesn't agree with Rav Huna, Dam Rav Huna, behema b'chaya b'cheskes isoy medes, an animal while it's alive is osur. So Rashi says it's osur because it's eva menachai. Tosis asks on Rashi because here we're speaking about an animal that was already slaughtered. So it's certainly once it's killed, it's not any more eva menachai, and therefore Tosis says that any animal while it's still alive has a chazak of ena zavuach, that it wasn't properly slaughtered. And until we know that it was properly slaughtered, it has that chazakah, that's ena zavuach. Achi evadalach, until we are clear, b'man nishchata, how it was slaughtered. Nishchata, once it was properly slaughtered, the cheskes heta amedis, we could assume that it's fine. We don't have to be concerned that it's a treifa, because most animals are not a treifa. Ad shivar lach b'man nitrifa, until you know that it's a treifa. Ask the Gemara, so what do we see from here? So we see Rambam b'chama is arguing on Rav Huna. Rambam b'chama is saying that we have to be concerned that the animal's a treifa, and we may not eat from that animal until we can be sure that it's not a treifa. Ask the Gemara, but haven't we learned the Mishnah like Rav Huna, and therefore how could Rambam b'chama disagree with him? The Tanan, because let's go back to our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said Rav Kiva Omer afil kazai is chai. Even you could take a piece of raw meat. If you have this behemah musukenis that we need to quickly shecht on yontif, we could take a piece of raw meat based tchisa. My love. We take it right away from the place it was sorted. So it was slaughtered, and we don't do any inspection. Isn't that clear that we don't have to examine for a treifa? Loi, says the Gemara. What the Mishnah means when it says it means mishmakim shetavachas achilasoi from its intestines, but we checked it first to make sure that it's kosher. Says the Gemara of Tanur Reb Chiya in explaining our Mishnah that it means Mokum Tvichasa Mamish, the place that it was slaughtered. Again, isn't that clearly indication that we don't have to check the meat? Says the Gemara, Elo Rabbi Bach Abba Oirich Arakamashman. So now the Gemara is saying, Rabbi Bach Abba is not teaching us Halacha and Hilchas Shechita, he's just teaching us proper Derech Eretz. Ketanya, as the Braisa teaches us, Layochel Adam Shum Ubotsum Roshem El Aleph. A person should not start eating an onion or garlic from its head. That's, he should start eating from the leaves. V'machol, and if he eats it that way, Hareza Rafsin. It's a proof that he's just a person who's a glutton that doesn't eat in the proper way. But the Magen Avraham, in Simen Kuf Ayin Sif Kotten Yudalit, quoting the Aguda, says on Shabbos, we don't have this problem. On Shabbos, we're saying that because it's you're eating L'Kavod Shabbos, there we could be more lenient. V'im ochel reza rafsin. Ki yitzba, so too is the halacha. L'yish la'odam kaisu v'asachas. If somebody's drinking wine, he shouldn't drink up the whole cup in one shot. V'im shasa, and if he does drink it that way, hareza gagrison. So the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch says that this Gemara is only speaking about wine or a beverage that intoxicates. The Ben Yehuda says that what does the Gemara mean when it says ki yotzeba? That just like by an onion, there's no point that you have to eat from the tap, so too there is no point that you have to drink the wine quickly. But if, says the Ben Yehuda, the cup of wine that we're drinking is a kosher bracha. By kosher bracha, these rules don't apply. Moreover, says the Mishnah Brura, that if he leaves over some wine at the bottom of the cup, then it's not a problem. And also, he says, when it's Kiddush cup, Havdalah cup, kosher bracha, dalak kosher by Pesach, there is no problem if you drink it b'bas achas. On the contrary, an argument can be made that he's drinking it b'bas achas because he's anxious to do a mitzvah. What's gargrun? A gargrun, the Prima Gadim says, is that he not only is eating drink, we know that every person has two simonim, a kana and a veshit. The veshit is the food pipe, the kana is the windpipe. This person is a gargrun, the gargaris, the windpipe. He's so anxious to eat that he uses both of his simonim in order to eat. Tana rabbanan, hashoyse b'bas achas, if somebody drinks a cup of wine in one time, hare ze gargrun, as we just explained. Shnayim, if he drank it in two, derech eretz. That shows derech eretz. Shloisha, if he drinks it in three times, it shows that he's a gaser ruach. He's arrogant. He wants to show that I'm a very refined person, and he's very busy trying to show off. But the Ramah says that if it's a very large cup of wine, so of course, then there's no problem that you could drink it in three or four shots, because it's a big cup of wine, that's why it takes longer to drink. Moreover, the Paiskim said that this is only by wine. When you're drinking a cup of water or a different liquid, then these halachas don't apply. Ve'amarami bar Abba, chatzuva. It's a type of grass that's called chatzuv, that the roots go very deep. And they used to use this grass as a board, as a boundary marker. Bekatei regalim the Rishaya. That shows the Rishayim that you can't get away. They try to steal fields, but this marker shows that it won't, that where the border really is. Another supposed pshat in the Gemara is that it takes away from them the ability to steal and in this world. But another pshat is that it also works for Olam Haba. Rishayim think that they could get away with what they're doing. And the Chatzuva teaches us that a person can't get away with what he thinks. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows the truth. Netiyah. We know that when we plant a fruit tree, for the first 3 years, we're not allowed to eat from that tree. And that is a lesson. It's a lesson against the people who shecht meat. And as we discussed earlier, when you shecht an animal, you're supposed to first examine it to make sure it's not a treifa. And these people who are so anxious and sell the meat right away without examining first, or somebody who has relations with his wife when she's a nida, because he can't wait, he doesn't have patience, didn't learn the lesson of arla tree. The lesson of arla tree is that a person should have patience. So the Maram Shif asks, why can't we just learn from Hilchas Nida? That Hilchas Nida teaches us that one can't have relations with his wife until she's not a Nida. Why do we have to bring a raya from Arla? So the Maram Shif answers, because we know that the Gemara Masechta Nida says that Klai Yisrael's machmer, that even if they see a tipastam, the smallest amount of blood, they're machmer. So that we don't learn from Hilchas Nida, because we would say only by a true Nida you have to wait. Here we learn that even when it's a suffix, even when it's a chumrah d'rabbanan, we have to wait. Termaso, it's a type of a bean that is very bitter, and you have to cook it 7 times, and then it becomes very delicious. Mekatei reglaim d'sanayim sh'Yisrael. This is a lesson against Klal Yisrael. Shenema, v'yisifu b'nei Yisrael lasas harah b'ein Hashem, v'yavdu v'sabolim v'sashtorois v'salhei aroim v'salhei tzidon v'salhei moya v'salhei b'nei amim v'salhei plishtim v'yazv v'sashem v'loivdua. So we learn from here, even though it's very bitter, but at the end of the day, it becomes good. And here too, Klal Yisrael did many averis, and they still didn't do tshuva. V'mashma shenem v'yazv v'sashem. The pasuk says that they didn't serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, any Adeya Shloi Avdua, that they left Hashem, they're certainly not serving him. Matam Loim Vloi Avdua. Amar Abelazar, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Afilu Keturmas Hazeh, they didn't treat me even like a bean. Sheshalkan I said Shevin Pomim, that you cook the bean 7 times. Vayachlan said Bekinuach Soida, and then it's eaten at the end of the meal. Lasu Benai. That means, even HaKadosh Baruch Hu complains that even if they've caused me to become angry at them so many times, and I've forgiven them so many times, and they still don't act the way they're supposed to act. Tana Mishmeder Meya. Name Amanita Torah Yisrael. Why was the Torah given specifically to Klai Yisrael? B'mnei Shen Azen. Because they're very strong people, and when they learn Torah, that's what causes them to become not so tough. And the pasuk says, Moshe Rabbeinu says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu about Klal Yisrael, Ki am kshei erifu v'salachtu. He says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because you know the nature of Klal Yisrael and that they are tough, that should be the reason, because you're well aware of their personality, that's why you should be moichel them, because you know that that's the way that they are. So the Gemara says that Klal Yisrael, v'mnei manit tarli sol, v'mnei shein azin. So I saw that the Torah, as we just learned, is what weakens the Azus of Klal Yisrael. The other option that could weaken Azus is Anias, if somebody is unfortunately poor. And that's Pshat, what David HaMelech says. Lule Seroska Shashui, if not that Baruch Shem, you gave me the Torah, or the Vadati Ba'ani, I would have to be poor. But the Torah is what breaks our Azus. The Kli Yoker says that the pasuk says that Yaakov Avinu, when he spoke to Reuven and Shimon, he says, "Ora apam ki to Levi and Shimon and Levi, ora apam ki oz, v'avrosam ki kashosam, achalkam b'Yaakov, v'fitzim b'Yisrael." He says that Yaakov Avinu saw that Shimon and Levi had a very healthy portion of Azus. And Azus is a very improper midah. So what he did was that he achalkem b'Yaakov v'fitzim b'Yisrael. He says, I'm going to spread out the Azus throughout Klal Yisrael, and that no shevet should have too much Azus. And the Gemara is saying that the Torah is what takes away the Azus. And that's pshat what the pasuk says, the Yon Yaakov says, Hashem oiz lama yitain. We know Ein oiz el Torah. Hashem oiz lama yitain. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah. And because HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah, Hashem yivarach ami b'shalom, now we're able to live, now we're able to have Torah. Another pshat is, Hashem oiz lama yitain, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah, but so if we get Torah, Torah causes machlokes. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu still says, even though I'm giving them the Torah, and many times when there's Torah, there's machlokes, but Hashem Yivarech Sami B'Shalom, there won't be any real machlokes emanating from people who learn Torah the way they're supposed to learn. Tana de Beir B'Shmol, Mimina Eishtos Lomai, Am HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ruim Halol Shunalam Dasan Daish. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Klal Yisrael is deserving to receive the Torah which is made out of fire, because they're azen and the fire will quiet them down. Ikadamri, the same shalayim eish. Their behavior is like fire. They're very fiery. Emoli nitna Torah Yisrael, and therefore, if not that the Kadosh Baruch Hu gave them the Torah, which pacifies them, enkal umu v'losh yichayim lam v'mneim, they would be impossible to work with. V'ayin adamrim shim belokish. Sholosh azen hein. There are three that are very strong. Yisrael sheba umas, from all the nations of the world, Klal Yisrael is the strongest. Kelef shebachayis, a dog amongst animal. V'tanagol shebaifis, and chickens among birds. V'yesh oimrim afa eiz, the goat. V'behema daka, the small animals. V'yesh oimrim afa tzlaf shebilonis, so too the tzlaf in the amas. So I saw that there is azus, and there is azus, and there's busha, and there's busha. Azus is a good thing if it's directed in the proper manner. So we learned in the Mishnah, Shachta v'Sada, if somebody shechted this animal in the field, Lo Yavien v'Moit, Anyanta, it should not be brought
on a pole. Tana Rabbanan. Ena suma yoytze b'makla. On a suma, blind person may now walk out through shesuyam on yata with a stick. V'loy roi b'tamiloy. And a shepherd may not walk out with his pouch. Ven yoytze mekitze. We're not allowed to carry somebody on a chair, like they used to carry distinguished individuals on a throne, that they used to carry them. Echad ish v'echad isha. Both a man and a woman may not be carried that way in Yontif, because all of these are considered an Ovda D'chol, and they're considered a Zilzil in Yontif. Eini, asked the Gemara, V'shalak Rav Yaakov Idi, Zokan Echad Hay B'shkinasayin, there was an elderly person who lived in our neighborhood. He used to go out in this chair on Yontif. And then they acquired Rav Shuba Levi. He said, if he's an important person and they need to hear his shear in the Beis Medrash, mutter. And he may be carried that way on Yontif. And they allowed that anybody should be carried that way. He said, I was the one, Achishakya said, I was the one that carried Rav Huna, Mehini L'Shili, Mehini L'Hini, and they were placed that were close to each other, and they were within the Tchum, and I carried Rav Huna that way on Yontif. Amram Nachma Yitzchak, Ano Afikti L'Mashmul, I would carry Mashmul on a chair, B'Shimsha L'Tula M'Tula L'Shimsha, from the sun to the shade, and from the shade to the sun. So we see that there were so many Amoraim that would carry that way. And says the Gemara, Hasan Kramatama, the reason in all these stories is as we learned, because if there's a person that people need, mutter. And that was the case in all these cases. He was called Shliach Tzinin because he would go to Yerushalayim very often. When you get that to throw, Aka Vizil at some of the Tzor. Please go to the place called Sum of the Tzur, the Zil Gabader of Yaakov Idi, and please go visit of Yaakov Idi, or Boimunei, and ask of him, Kisen, what, carrying a person on this chair, Ma'atnbei, what is the halacha about carrying a person on a chair on Yontif? Adazel Hassam, until he arrived there, Noch Nafshir of Yaakov Idi. Rav Yaakov Idi was Nifter. Kisolik, when he got there, when he got that to throw, Ashkechel Rab Zreika. And he met Rav Zreika. Omlei, kise matemvei. What do you hold is the halacha regarding carrying somebody on a chair on Yontif? Omlei, hach amar Rav Ami, uvat shlo yikasif. If somebody is needed, he could be carried on a chair, provided that he doesn't do kituf. Ask the Gemara, what does that mean? Mai uvat shlo yikasif. Omlei, Rav Achav Reder Ova, balunki. They shouldn't be carried by two people facing each other, and the two people put their hands on each other's shoulders, and then they hold the person on the shoulders, and put the chair on top of the shoulders. That is a real of the dechol, and that is a real zilzul b'yontif. I asked the Gemara, "Any for Rav Nachman Sharle Yalta Lameika Alunki?" Rav Nachman allowed his wife Yalta to walk to be carried that way. Answers the Gemara, "Shani Yalta, even though she was carried the beisa, she was scared." And since she was scared, therefore it was mutter. Our meimer mazutra makafsla b'shaps the regular. When a meimer mazutra would come to say a drasha on Velchus Yontif, they would carry that way mishum b'susa. They had to be carried that way because there were so many people there. They were scared that the fear of all those people would cause them to fall. There were so many people there, and again, they were scared that there would be a lot of pushing, and that would cause them to fall. But under normal circumstances, it represents an Ovda D'chol, which should not be done on Yontif.